Thank you all for coming this afternoon. I did my presentation, I did my research on the association between walkability, diabetes, and socioeconomic status. I chose 8 Ohio counties in Ohio. I have no disclosures, no relationships to disclose. I'd like to acknowledge my professors, Dr. Khalil and Dr. Spears, who helped me out with this research. And were instrumental in helping me understand and get the analysis right. Today I'm going to do a quick introduction about the different relationships, discuss my methods, my results, discussion to include strengths and limitations of my study. First, my introduction. Type 2 diabetes is a serious problem in the United States, mostly affecting older, as you get older, and those in the lower socioeconomic status. But the best way to combat this is through physical activity. It helps lower your, it helps decrease your weight, and it decreases your A1C levels eventually, preventing diabetes. But in order to do this, you're going to have to live in a walkable area to do easily walkable, you need to live in a walkable area in order to do this, and that's the cheapest way in order to walk. But walkability can be measured in a couple of ways. One way is through subjective measurements, and those are most often the residents' perception of their own neighborhood. Those like path quality, path context, neighborhood aesthetics, like are there trees planted, are there benches to sit on, and safety from your automobiles and from criminal activity. Other ways you can measure it is through objective measures. When you're more macro level, not asking the residents for perception. This is how the land is used, the connectivity of the path, are there small intersections or small blocks, can you get around pretty easily? But the best way to do this is actually to combine both of these measures, objective and subjective, in order to get a better idea of is your neighborhood actually walkable. So what I did is I did research questions where what is the association between socioeconomic status and walkability in residents of 8 Ohio counties who have the highest prevalence of type 2 diabetes in the state? And then a subsequent question came out, what does walk score measured by the walk score app correlate to a walk score measured by a different application, which is systematic pedestrian and cycling environmental scan? So my two questions. So my methods, most of my data I got from the Ohio Behavioral Risk Survey, Risk Factor Surveillance System Survey. My dependent variable was type 2 diabetes. There was a question that, have you ever been asked by a doctor, told by a doctor that you have diabetes? And I had several independent variables that I considered. And I also used the Metropolitan Status Code to kind of say if they lived in an inner city, in a suburb, or outside the suburb. I ended up with a sample of 5,447, and those are my 8 counties. These are the counties that have answered that question the most. These are the highest prevalence of who answered that question. In order to get my walk score variable, I use the walk score app, and this is something I downloaded to an iPad, iPod, iPhone. It's readily available. We use 338 zip codes, which are all the zip codes in those 8 counties. And use an algorithm that measures street and intersection density, average walk length, and mixed land use within a quarter mile. And the idea of this walk score app is they want to use it, they're promoting it more for real estate, and they're trying to promote walkable areas. So these walkable areas are near food environments, near anything, not necessarily measuring for, can I walk around my neighborhood to get exercise? It's more, can I walk to my neighborhood to go to a restaurant? So you can imagine what kind of walk scores versus inner city versus suburbia, what those walk scores will look like. So these are more of your objective measures, not really your perceptive, not the measure that it was measuring. The second part what I use is the systematic pedestrian and cycling environmental scan. This was first done by researchers in Australia, and they actually have people go out and measure different questions about the environment. They actually use objective and perceptive measures, not asking residents, but they use their own judgment on these measures. But what I did instead, in order for me to get 8 counties in Ohio, because I couldn't get there, we actually ended up using 6. We used 2 zip codes from each of those counties and compared it to walk score. Well, what I did is I did a used Google Earth, GIS, and Google Maps, and I actually walked the neighborhood virtually. So I did a virtual audit, and I can go through and I can say, oh, there's a mailbox, they can walk to a mailbox. There's a way of, the questions asked, how far are the sidewalks from the road? Does the people mow the grass? Things like that. Things I could do when I drove down using map area. I mapped an area which is 400 meters from, I guess research says you can walk, most people walk 400 meters, that's as far as they'll walk from their house. So I measured 400 meters around a point and determined by walking each of those intersections with Google Maps, and I was able to answer the questions and actually get a score, which is my new walk score. So in order to do these, I had different relationships. The relationship between diabetes and walk score, I measured with logistic regression, walk score and socioeconomic status, ANOVA, socioeconomic status and diabetes, and chi-square. And then when I compared the two different walk scores, I ended up Pearson's correlation coefficient. And I used SPSS to do this need analysis. So my results. If you look, these are my comparing my independent variables to diabetes. We had 10% of the respondents were actually diabetic. The average age of diabetics were 59. Males and females, we had about equal. We had more Caucasians and more that were less than 50, that were made less than $50,000. And the majority were in good health. And the walk score was actually higher among diabetics than among non-diabetics. And comparing the diabetes and walkability, which is my first relationship, we did a logistic regression model. And one thing I'd mention, we did each of those variables separately first in a univariate analysis, not including everything in the model. And you see here that walk score is not significant, but when it's compared with everything else, it actually was significant. When you're doing research, you never get what you really expect you're going to get. This is one of the things where I was sure walk score was going to be a significant variable. It ended up in this manner, the way I measured it using that walk score app, it was not significant. But we did show that BMI was significant. It did have a significant predictor of diabetes. And also general health and race. My next association between walkability and socioeconomic status. Here is where I use the Metropolitan Statistical Code. And you see that from the bottom graph, in the center of the city, the walk score is always higher. And as it goes out, the walk score gets lower. And that's using that walk score app. And you say in the middle of San Francisco, you can walk everywhere and get something to eat. Or in most cities, you can walk and get something to eat. But you got in suburbia, you have to get in your car and drive. So that's kind of what this represents. And also, with your socioeconomic status at the top, you see, except for the one that's outside of the metropolitan statistical area, which is outside of suburbia, way out there, most scores for in less than 50,000, those who made less than 50,000, the walk score was higher. And then my next analysis between socioeconomic and diabetes, kind of as I predicted, it was actually those who made less than $50,000 had a higher prevalence of diabetes. And here's where I kind of like this part of the study. I had to convince my advisors that I really thought this was an important thing to show. And the idea that walk score is not the best way to measure walkability if you're wanting to know recreation or destination. As this shows, this is actually correlated, as you would expect, walk score and spaces for destination. Spaces had a measurement for destination walking and for recreation walking. So when you measured it, walk score versus spaces for destination, it was correlated because, of course, they're measuring the same things. But when you measured it, walk score versus the spaces for recreation, it didn't measure. It was no longer correlated. So that showed that walk score was not an accurate measure of trying to show walkability for recreation. So those people who lived in an area where there's no food or anything around, they're not going to be able to walk accordingly to the spaces. Clearly, just a summary of what I just went over. Compared alone, walk score was a predictor, but not, when it added to the model, it was not significant. Walkability definitely was higher for those who lived in the middle of the city and for those who are lower socioeconomic status who most likely live in the center of the city. And, of course, with higher prevalence of diabetes for those with lower socioeconomic status. So, discussion. Since my research didn't quite show what I want, I dug through the literature trying to find a reason. I did find some things, but not much. One of the research I found showed that kind of something similar. It said no significant association between neighborhood walkability and proportion of overweight and obese adults. That was one study that showed that. Kind of along with my study. Another study showed that our average distance to an establishment was 2 times greater in suburban areas than traditional, which you would expect, but which didn't really jive with my research. High-density, low-income areas were conducive to walking for destination, which makes sense. In the center of the city, you're going to be able to walk, but not for recreation. And you imagine when thinking about that, seeing that didn't really pop out with the walk scores, it didn't manage criminal activity. You know, in those low-income areas, the center of the city, you know, I'm not going to walk in those areas at nighttime. But that wasn't shown through the walk score. It showed a sort of high walkability. But that, of course, wasn't considered. And then, of course, socioeconomic status and diabetes is pretty obvious. We know that those with the lower socioeconomic status have a higher rate of diabetes. And then from the literature, there are studies on this walk score app show that it was definitely correlated to land use mix, street connectivity, and residential density. But it was positively correlated to crime statistics. So the higher the walk score, the higher the crime statistics. So obviously it was not a good measurement. So it's ideal for measuring if you want to know if you live near a restaurant, if you want to buy a house and you can walk to go to a restaurant, but not really correlated for being able to know if you're going to walk for exercise. So strengths of our study were that we were able to get a pretty good sample from the Ohio County. And I was really excited to be able to use all the technology, GIS, the iPad, Google Earth, Google Maps. And we did identify a distinction between walking for recreation and walking for destination. Some of the weaknesses are that BRFSS question doesn't ask if you are type 1 diabetic or type 2 diabetic. But 90-95% of most adults are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. We had to extrapolate walkability because we didn't have an address for those BRFSS residents. We kind of took out their zip code. So we just took their zip code and where GIS put them, and that's where we said they lived. And then our weakness is that walk score app. It measured those areas, destination, not for recreation. And it didn't use those subjective measures that it should. You should, if I would do this again, I would definitely be able to ask residents, do you think your neighborhood's walkable? Because that means a lot. And saying your neighborhood's walkable. I can think it's walkable all I want, but I don't live there. I don't know what goes on at nighttime or anything like that. So adding in the residents' perception would be a great way to further the study, to do it again, making sure that you've asked the neighbors, is your neighborhood actually walkable? So thank you.